This has been such a turning point of a month. Like June, 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 June.
Oh, June.
Oh, June.
How you have June.
How you have June.
So we are going to be talking about culture and weight loss. So where? Belly gone.
Oh, where she go?
I literally said belly must go and it gone again.
In African culture, think about it. Like, food is such a centerpiece and such a staple in our culture. Like, it's actually offensive. Yeah. Like, imagine, like, you come into my house, my mom's made dinner, and you're saying you're not eating.
Yeah.
You might as well slap my mom.
Yeah.
Huh? Unless you're actually praying and fasting.
There really no other excuse.
There actually is no other excuse.
It's a symbol of love. It's a symbol of community. It brings poverty, anything in the bin, and it's like, this is making me add on weight. I'm full, or like, I don't want that big pile of whatever, and it's like, eat more, eat more. Or like,
you've got this country telling us, oh, but the way your culture eats, you finna die soon.
Yeah,
and so, it's like, okay, well, how come you've been able to find alternatives for every other culture, but then us, it's like, just stop eating that. No, yeah.
It's just me and my dad in our house. One thing about that man, when he goes to Lidl Bakery, comes like he's feeding the 5,000 himself. I'm like, bro, what are we meant to do with all of
this? I think I once saw you.
What are we meant to do with a loaf of bread, two croissants, a pan au chocolat? I'm like, bro, what are we actually meant to do? But it is the scarcity thing, because I think in his mind, he's like, oh, I must buy now because Lidl might not be here tomorrow.
I just feel like everything in the diet culture when it comes to food has catered to every other cuisine. In our own.
African.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of The Weight of It podcast. It's me, Run With Rose. As you guys know, I told you in the last episode, I'm not just Run With Rose, I'm a mental health consultant, I'm an ex-therapist, and just a lover of all things to do with mental health. So we are back for technically episode 14, but technically episode 2 of The Weigh-In. And you know who I've got in the studio. They don't need no introduction. I've got Grace here with me, my little sister, and my good sis, Esnar, as well. So hey, girls.
Hi, guys. Hey.
I'm so excited. I'm really excited. Right? I was just saying to the girls that I'm really excited for this episode because I actually have energy.
Yeah.
Like, the last episode, I was really on my last legs of life.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's do it, girls.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you guys back. I brought them back to the studio. I told you I was going to get you guys back and they came back. So, you know, I'm happy that we've got this segment now. Hopefully a monthly segment. We're going to try to be consistent with this. But yeah, so we do have a topic, but we're not going to start with the topic. I just want to see how the girls feeling. How we doing?
I'll weigh in.
Yeah, let's all weigh in.
Let's weigh in.
Okay, so past month, I felt good. The sunshine has helped.
Amen.
A lot. I think going for walks, I think this month I've been a lot less harder on myself. And I think that's because I've intentionally not been using my watch, although I don't really use it much.
Mm-hmm.
Past few months before this, I mentioned that I was. And obviously this month we said goodbye to the watches.
See you later.
Because of the topic of discussion we had last time. So it's felt a bit more freeing. Mm-hmm. Just haven't been tracking things like that.
Yeah.
I think I've just been like, okay, get your exercise in, eat healthy, eat whole foods.
Yeah.
And I've just made it simple as opposed to making it macros, 10 down the step. Like, all like so like complex and whatever. I've just been like, okay, the basic principle is eat well and exercise, like get your body moving. So I think that's been really helpful. And I think I've seen results.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think sometimes, I think I've got a bit of body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, literally 2 minutes ago, I was like, am I fat? And then Rose was like, oh, you've lost weight. And I think you said it at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, Rose was like, you've lost weight. And I was like, am I fat? Something like that. Or like, have I added weight? But in the grand scheme of things, I feel good, if that's a question.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the question was, but yeah.
I also should also just put a disclaimer. We are all yappers here, by the way.
So such yappers.
Just believe, if I ask a question,
There's no short answer.
There's no short answer. No. So, you know, if you're already like 5 minutes into this podcast, I'm just letting you know we are true yappers here. We yap for fun. So
team yap a lot.
Team yap a lot.
Team yap a lot.
But Essa, how are you doing?
How am I doing? Do you know what, guys? I just want to be real. I just want to be real with people.
It's going to be me.
I just want to be me. Genuinely think this has been such a turning point of a month. Like June.
Oh, June. How you have June.
Because
like you've never June'd before.
Like you've actually never June'd before.
Literally
like
never June'd before.
It was giving halfway there, but also like I just genuinely feel like this has been like such a hard reset of a month.
Yeah.
And I didn't go into it with that intention.
Yeah.
So it's like the fact that it's even ended in that way, I'm just like, wow.
Halfway there, but you also can't believe that you've done X, Y, and Z only halfway.
Yeah. Like, as in, like, what is to come?
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, this is gonna be a time. So that's how I'm feeling. I feel on top of the world. I feel happy. I feel fulfilled. As you said,
I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah. I'm awake today.
Yeah.
Because you guys got sick of me.
No, I love this. And yeah, you know, S has had some real big things happen over the last couple of.
She's been moving and she's shaking.
And on top of that, my waist is a bit snatched.
Guys, sorry, can I just say, right? Me and S were in the studio room getting ready in the wardrobe room, right? Like the celebrities we are.
Yeah.
And I said, we're just talking chit chat, and obviously we're in the mirror. And I was like,
hang on.
Cut the cameras. S. And all I was saying in the mirror was S. Not looking at her eyes, looking at her waist. I said, S.
Yeah.
S. Like her waist, guys, has, I don't know where it disappeared. Like her.
Where?
Belly gone.
Where'd she go?
I said belly must go and it gone again. I literally said belly must go and it gone again. It literally went. And you know what? I was just like, no. And even I was saying like your frame.
Yeah.
I was saying like, and I was saying, this is how I knew this was real. Cause you know, like, sometimes I think I have body dysmorphia, so my eyes can play tricks on me. But oh, I said, this one is real. Yeah. Because the waist is gone. The belly is flat. And then also her frame is smaller as well.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What?
She's
she
reacted in the change room.
Sorry, guys.
But the weight loss.
I just feel like it's universal across the board. Like, Loki, okay, I'm just going to say it now. I'm a bit disappointed that I didn't actually do my weighing and my measurements because we could have actually. But what I will say is that visually, I can see it in every single one of us. And I think that's what makes a difference. Like, I can look at your face is snatched. Yeah. I can look at your waist is snatched. I can look at my frame, I'm shrinking. So it's like, guys, something's happening.
Yeah. And can I say, the face snatch compliments are the best. Because a couple of weeks ago, I went to stay at my friend's house in London just for a sleepover. And her twin, so I haven't seen her twin in like forever because I'm friends of her husband. Yeah. So she was like, oh my gosh, Grace, like your face, like you've lost so much weight. And I was like, the face is giving it away? And then I must have looked at old... oh God, there's a picture I screenshot. I don't want to get it up. But I'm not going to get it up. I was like, the face then... but like the face is such a nice compliment because it's something I feel like as the person with the face as the face holder you don't actually realize until someone says it and maybe you look at an old picture like remember we looked at an old picture of yours and we're like your face,
cheekbones are like, things are
everything chiseled.
Is like it's giving chiseled. How are you Miss Rose?
Before I say how I am, I'm so happy that you guys are good. You know, like, guys, I can feel their energy. Like, it's like they're not just saying this because the cameras are on. Like, I can feel that you guys are feeling good and I'm so happy. And also I've also been watching you guys like get to this point over the last month as well, so I'm so happy for that. I'm feeling good as well. Like, don't get it twisted, girls. I mean, today I was just taking a picture before I went for my run. I said, who there?
The one that says Slim Jim.
Yeah, and you know, I thought I looked slim, but like you said, I've got body dysmorphia sometimes. So it was like, sometimes it can also be the opposite where I think I'm slimmer than I am. So, but I just felt like, no, because people always be talking about, oh, you feel like you're big. No, sometimes I feel like I'm slimmer than
really?
I am.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I've had that. And then I've taken a picture. So basically I'll be like this in the mirror.
Yeah.
And when I'm looking in the mirror, my waist
looking
small. Then I take the picture and I'm all gassed. Then I look at it and I'm like,
snitching
on my ass like crazy.
I'm just snitching on my ass like that. Okay.
So I took the picture and I just thought I felt slim. But I just also felt really like comfortable.
Okay.
That's one thing I would say that I don't ever really like look for, like comfortability. And I felt comfortable in what I was wearing. Yeah. Like as in like the way it was hugging my body. I just felt comfortable. So I thought, you know, let me take a picture. It's my Instagram.
And it's like, your body.
It's my body. Who gonna say, who gonna check me, boo? So I uploaded the picture and then everyone was saying what I was saying. So everyone was like, sounds right. I'm looking a bit leaner. I feel like I have noticed a difference. I feel like I've got some like the straight leg flare jeans. Mm-hmm. And they've always just, you know, the way they're supposed to fit is a bit baggy, but now it's like, it's sagging. I was even saying in the car, I need to go get them taken in.
Oh yeah. Really?
But like, yeah, they're actually sagging. Like even the leggings I wore this morning for my run, guys.
Falling off the bone.
Wow. I was so happy. Like I was running. I was like, oh my God.
This is crazy.
Yeah. And it's just like, obviously I know we're going to talk about the watch.
Yeah.
But like Grace said, I think there's just been a switch in like, yes, I've still been working out, but I just don't feel like it's been feeling like a chore.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just want to work out.
Yeah.
Like I want, when I don't, so today I went for a run this morning, but Wednesday is my swim day. Mm-hmm. But because of like the timing and everything, it was like, oh, you know, I won't have time to swim.
Yeah.
Like I would now be going mad about that. But it was like, okay, I'll just swim tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's
like what you were talking about in your last episode, if you haven't watched it, it's out now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, just you can actually just go again.
Yeah. So I feel like I've been a lot more kinder to myself. I feel like even if like I think since the last episode, I went to Geneva to see one of my best friends there. And like, you know, we had things like pasta, which is something I don't typically eat every day.
Yeah.
But I just enjoyed it. And like, I just feel like I don't want to be robbing myself of these, of like having a good moment with my friends. Because I'm too busy thinking about
macros.
So I think I just let go, but it's not like I've let go and I'm not doing anything. I'm still working out. I'm still eating clean. And I'm waking up. And one thing I've been really intentional about, I think I said to you the other day, is like, I'm trying to really focus on appreciating my body.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that for the last 2 weeks and I've felt such a drastic difference. Like I walk past, I see a picture, I see myself in the mirror. I'm not like running. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I see you.
So I feel good. Obviously, I bought these like PLT. What are these clothes? Active wear.
Yeah.
And when I was putting them on, I was just like, okay. Don't hurt yourself now.
Don't hurt yourself. Show me what you're working with.
Oh wow.
So yeah, I feel good. Just in general, I just feel like, I think when we last filmed, I don't know if it was the week before or the week after, I just went through like, is it an existential crisis? And I was like,
yeah,
I'm 30 in 6 months.
Yeah.
What's life going to be? I should be doing it. And I think I took the week off work.
Yes. Yeah.
Took the week off work.
Yeah.
And I rested in God.
Amen.
The creator of the universe. Amen. In case you didn't know.
Your little Pisces.
You can never go to your little Pisces to confirm what I got from my God. But...
I spoke
to God and I just feel like it just made a difference. Like I just feel so much better.
One day on the pod.
Yeah.
Is that coming up, Christianity and
Faith. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. I've got an episode of something.
I think we got some juicy bits.
Yeah. So I say that to say I feel good. It has been a bit of a turbulent month. Let me not say this, just been easy going. But I think the fitness element has just been consistent.
Do you think that's also like helped you as well in your turbulent
months? Yeah, absolutely. Because you know like how people say the gym, there's mental health benefits. I feel like when I'm okay, I don't see the mental health benefits because I'm okay.
Yeah.
But I think when I'm having like a bit of a dip, that's when I notice, okay, this made me feel good.
Mm-hmm. Or you realise that you didn't slip into as bad of a place that
then
maybe
I could've.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the walking, thank God that the weather has changed, because walking is just like today I ran.
Yeah.
I wanted to run 5K, but I've just been listening to my body. So I ran 2.5, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walked the rest. Yeah. And it's like, the old roads would be like, no, you said you have to run. And it's like, just trying to find that sweet spot between a goal and like, actually just like
reality
measure. I just also want to just run because I want to run. It's not every day like 5k
but not training,
but then there's
to be in
the army. But then sometimes I do want that like goal, but it's like just trying to find that balance of like, no, today's just not the day for the full 5k, but I'm gonna run and walk because
why not?
Literally. It's true. And plus, when you think about it, if you have like this end goal, like a long-term goal, and you're at the start of it, you have so many this probably isn't like popular opinion, but you have so many days to make up for the day that maybe you didn't do your 5k, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like even if you don't do the 5k today, you can do it tomorrow, yeah. and it's not going to have any material impact on you achieving that long-term goal.
Absolutely. And don't forget, guys, when we did the first weigh-in, remember I was doing my 30 days of running?
Yes.
So even my current weight loss since then is off the back of, because I think with across those 30 days, I maybe did 5K runs.
Yeah.
The rest were like little 2Ks, 1Ks. Yeah. So I think I even just wanted to show that it doesn't have to be this like rigorous, and that's what I used to do, right?
Treacherous
training. Yeah. And like, but like, don't get me, there's days where 5K feels like leisure.
Yeah.
And, but then sometimes it's like a 2K is good.
I just realized that's probably what's contributed to your weight loss. I forgot you did that.
Yeah, challenge. I did 30 days. Yeah.
I think because rest also then, like things start to happen in the rest period.
Right. And I had a week off work. I was like still working up. It was just the tempo was, because after the 30 days, the tempo just slowed down a little bit. But I definitely feel like that's contributed to, I was literally running for 30 days.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the way Rotten Rose would usually run. There was no 10Ks unnecessarily. But I do want to like push myself and like, so now with my 5Ks, I'm just trying to improve my speed. But that's all. It's not, you've just got to do 5K because the whole world is doing 5Ks. Mm-hmm. No, like I'm enjoying walking right now in this season, walking and swimming.
Yeah.
So that's my priority. And then weightlifting, I'm actually enjoying weights now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be like, you little know, jump sets. Yeah. I'd be like, what's
good? Little tries.
How many sets you got left, boo?
Not hanging around.
Yeah. And the other day, I literally asked him, was like three sets. I was like, all right, cool.
I'll be back.
Like, yeah, it's great.
I love it.
But yeah, that's how I'm feeling.
Wow. Look at us driving.
I know.
I love it.
Well, this is like an accountability, like, checkup.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, but we cannot not mention the impact of the watches.
Can I just
pick up on something that you said? You said something about like how obviously you went to Geneva recently and there's pasta, you don't normally eat it, but you're like, you know what? I want to enjoy this moment with my friends, like I want to enjoy this experience. And it just took me back to Mr. Kiwi, and I thought, you don't want to be the
Mr. Kiwi in the situation,
right?
In life. It's true,
like, right?
It's true.
Can I talk about Mr. Kiwi as well? Finish.
If you said no to
Was even home
the pasta, you'd just be such a Mr. Kiwi in that moment. And it's like, do you want a Kiwi life?
Do you literally just want to sit with your strawberries, your handful?
And for what? I'm in a different country celebrating, the fruits of my friend's labor.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
and I feel like we keep ignoring like the impact of small improvements daily. Mm-hmm. Like even what you said, if you want to do 5K every day and that's your goal. And by the way, I say this saying that I appreciate people that do it every single day. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate people that also listen to their body and think their body says, I can't do this, I'm going to do 2.5, right? You doing 2.5 that day, or even on the fourth day, sixth day, you're still making progress.
Yeah.
Like, you're not stopping. You're not like saying, do you know what? F this. I did 5K for a week and now I'm not going to do anything for the rest of the year. You're saying, did 5K for the week, feeling a bit tired, going to do a 2.5 today, but tomorrow I'll be back.
Yeah.
And I feel like we sometimes ignore. I think the watch contributes to that ignorance. But I think sometimes we ignore the impact of small improvements daily. It's literally micro habits. But anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think even like today, when I thought I went for a run, obviously I used my Nike Run app.
Yeah.
And I was hesitating about using it because I was like, I feel like I know my area, so I know what a 5K is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, speed-wise and time-wise, I wouldn't, but I know like the route. And even when I used it, I kind of was just like, this didn't do anything for me. I couldn't run without it.
Yeah.
Like, and could've but then also, this is why I'm saying it comes down to leisure versus being competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm running for leisure, I couldn't give two flying monkeys if it was a 10K or a 2K.
What does it actually matter? In the grand scheme of life,
I'm just going to keep running until I want to stop.
Right, exactly.
And you're going to be doing this for years. What does it matter today, June 26th, at age 25, you did... It doesn't.
Unless there's an Olympics at the end of it, I'm not sure that that deep.
And it's fine to train like that, that's of what course. You want to do, yeah, but I just 100%. Feel like I've realised that If every day everybody's telling me, you need to make a lifestyle, Rose, you need to make... Well, you know what? I don't know if I'm right in running 5Ks every day.
No.
But I think what you're doing is lifestyle, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right now, this suits my lifestyle. Yeah. That's why it's been easier to do. I woke up today and I just wanted to go. It wasn't I need to go. Like, and I think finding that sweet spot over the last couple of weeks has, I think, contributed to, I think...
Just feeling...
Waist snatch.
Right. Get it. Get into it.
But there's a different...
Oh, sorry.
Are you going to go to Kiwi?
But continue.
Sorry, literally last thing. Gosh.
Take
the mic in. So I was just going to say, I think there's a difference though between challenge and lifestyle. Like what you're talking about, you know, you set out to do 5K, then one day you did 2.5. That's genuinely lifestyle, because life comes at you. And some days maybe you won't do anything, but tomorrow you'll be back. But I feel like challenges, like, have to do 5K every single day. And that is fine, but you can't, I feel like you just have to know that those are the two different things and not try and get them mixed up. Don't, like, 5K them. Every single day equals lifestyle. No, lifestyle is more like incorporating it into your lifestyle. Yeah. And I feel like that's what you've been, what can I say? Like, yeah, that's what you've been doing, or that's what you've been embodying over the past June.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
I've been hogging.
Sorry, no. I was just going to say about, because you said about, do I want to be Mr. Kiwi in this situation? It's very funny because I don't know if I said in the last episode, but Mr. Kiwi has now come to my gym. So I actually see him quite regularly now.
Yeah.
And it was funny. Just yesterday, we had a conversation about the fact that he walked in and I saw him. I was like, oh, what's wrong? And he was like, I'm just not feeling it. And I said, you. You are not feeling it.
You and your Kiwis.
He said, I'm just not feeling it. He was like, I don't know what it is, but I've been really, like, the last few weeks, me and the gym were just not, and this is someone that has been going to the gym for time.
Yeah.
I said, this is so interesting. Is this you hitting a wall because you've realized there's a lack of enjoyment in what you're doing?
Because
you're thinking about to maintain what it is that you've got, or to do this in the way that you do it requires so much energy.
Yeah.
Or their lack of, because you're eating kiwis. And strawberries. You know, I'm going to actually ask him next time I see him what the dietary side of things is looking like. Maybe this could just be an underlying thing that we just get cheeky updates on Mr. Kiwi.
I'm really hoping for the pod.
Do you know what would be so good? If you could put on, like, your story or something, like questions for
Mr. Kiwi. I don't know if I want him to have that much.
More like, no, questions. Like, what do you want us to discuss about Mr. Kiwi?
Oh, okay. Like, what do people want to know? I think he's just got quite a unique lifestyle in terms of, like, the way he eats and how he trains, but...
And I don't think he's the only one, you know?
No.
Like, I think maybe because of, like, my Run and Throws platform, I follow, obviously, a lot of fitness and health people. And there are people who are very rigid and very, like...
Right.
You know, the people who are like, oh, yeah, when I wanted to lose weight, I stopped going out, I stopped seeing my friends. And it's just like, whoa. Why are my friends in it?
Whoa. Like how I get.
Yeah, some people are very, like... Yeah. Whereas I think maybe you and me might be like, well, we're still going to go out, but we're going to make different choices.
Exactly.
We're going to make accommodations for it. So, for example, I know tonight I'm going out and I'm gonna maybe drink and I'm gonna eat X, Y, and Z. So today in the day, I'm gonna take it a bit easy.
I was genuinely thinking, like, I wonder if you've hit that wall in that stage.
Yeah.
Because it's now getting to a point where you're realizing that this is not,
there's no pleasure.
There's no pleasure. It's not sustainable. Or is it that you just don't like the gym?
It's really good that he's hit that, though. Like, that's my perspective, because I think for me, even just hearing that, it just shows his humanity as well. Like, these people, like, Mr. Kiwi as a representation of this group, this rigid group, it's like, they're still human. And I feel like it does show, like, their, you know, like, because you're not a robot. Yeah.
You're not.
And, like, Mr. Kiwi,
you don't have to be.
I know he's not the spokesperson for that group, but
I think
it's like,
he would actually, can I just say, I would love to see what his reaction would be. Have I sent him the last episode?
Before he reports the account,
I even said a handful, I even baited him out.
I feel like
we love you.
Wait, what's the millennial one? No, the Gen Z one.
That one.
Yeah. Cool.
What was I gonna say? Yeah, I feel like it humanizes him, because I get so slogical. I say that because, though, they kind of operate as robots, and I feel like outsiders looking in, we kind of see them as robots. Like,
this amount of macros,
this handful of strawberries at this exact time. It's like, are you even like me? Like, do we share whatever?
But
I feel like him hitting that war or whatever has just happened,
good for him.
It's good for him. Like, I think it also humanizes him.
So. Honestly, there's a group of people who are like that, who are also now the quote unquote experts in the fitness industry. Mm. And then people wonder why they can't live up to what this person is saying. Because, like you said, that's not everybody's everyday life.
No.
I wanted to touch on the watches.
Yes.
And I think the significant impact I think it's had. So I feel like, obviously, for those of you that don't know, or maybe who've just listened to today's episode, please go back and listen to the first way in.
Yeah, because a lot of what we're saying actually won't make sense.
Yeah, you don't know who Mr. Kiwi is.
Yeah, you need to listen to episode 10.
Apple Watch Gate.
So in episode 10, me and Grace were speaking about like the fact that we haven't used our Apple Watch for some time, and Esna was very much, you know, in a chokehold with hers. Mm. But praise be to God, the chain is now broken.
Amen.
And we spoke about like actually challenging ourselves for a month of not using the Apple Watch. Yeah. And we've all done it. And I basically just wanted to update that I feel like I am just in touch with my body.
Yeah.
Like, even like working out in the gym, guys, I kid you not, I said this in the last episode and it happened again. Mm. Every single weight session I've had, I have done it till failure.
Yeah.
I'll be counting the reps. I've hit the reps, but I just keep going. Because I'm not checking that, oh, I've done it, right? Like, mm-hmm. just keep going. No, it's like I keep pushing. Yeah. And I just think the lack of watch, the lack of like, even on the Stairmaster, it's like, I'm just going. I don't need you to tell me how many calories I've burned. Mm. Like, and I don't even believe what the machine tells me anyway.
No, the machine is way off.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like this way of working out, I really enjoy it. I have no desire to put it back on.
Really?
No, not really. I'm just, the only thing that my phone does tell me steps, but I think that's my phone.
Yeah,
like,
it's yeah.
the steps app, but mm-hmm. I'm just, I don't know, it's just from where I'm at now. Like I said, these things are just, you know, these things are to aid us with our fitness journey. So I'm not saying I'm never going to pick up my watch again. Mm. But right now, I'm kind of just enjoying.
Well, funnily enough, I can't pick up my watch again because, I gave my watch away. Yeah.
Did
you see me? I don't do things by halves. I'm such an all in or all out kind of girl.
You're half-hearted.
I am not half-hearted, babe, in any kind of area of my life.
Amen.
So I did the first few days without it. I had spoken to one of my friends I can say Sister Keeks that was on the podcast last episode now?
Yeah, episode 12.
Yeah.
Two episodes ago.
Yeah. I'd spoken about her taking my watch anyway. This is for the longest because she's never had a watch. So she was kind of like interested about. So I said, it's funny. Like, we've come to a point, like a crossroad where I'm ready to give it up and you want to pick it up.
Yeah.
So I said, just take it, babes. So I literally have not actually been able to put the watch on. What I will say of my no watch experience, and I know there's going to be people out there that, if for them, having their Apple Watch, their Fitbit, the Whoop is like the new one that tells you about everything and anything, going on in your body. I hear it. Like, I really do. And I like knowing what's going on internally. However, what I will say is, guys, I feel like I have literally mentally reset in terms of how I feel towards exercise. Mm. And I feel like it's genuinely been a month of me realizing that I actually need to, first of all, I've actually seen it as worship. Like, I've been doing like my prayer walks and all that kind of thing. But I'm also seeing it as like, this is actually like the one body that God has given me. And I need to actually exercise it. Like, I must. It's a must. At this point, as we spoke about aging and all of that stuff, like, obviously, still a young babe, still a young fly babe.
Period. Sorry.
Like, still a young fly babe. Period. But I realized like it's actually genuinely not, it can't just be about the aesthetics at this point. There has to be some benefit internally to me. And it's like, as long as I'm getting up, I put more emphasis. I did like a little June challenge. So if you have me on Instagram, I've been trying to post every day. I'm falling off towards the end because that's just me. But I've been trying to just move for 30 minutes a day, every day. That has been my goal throughout June. And I think all in all, we're on the 26th of June. I think I've missed maybe 3 or 4 days throughout the month of not moving. And even those times, I've not been flogging myself. Like, it's not that deep.
Yeah. It's not flog worthy.
It's not flog worthy. I've actually been active.
Yeah.
Even those days, it's like, maybe I'm just running errands or I'm just doing
walking
whatnot.
Around.
Yeah. And I've been in my head consciously saying, like, that's okay, like, that's enough. Because my watch would tell me, my ring would only be 150 calories burnt today.
You've only stood up 9 times out of the 12.
Right. Even though I might have stood up 10 or 15
times. Still. Like,
even if it's nine times.
I've still stood up 9 times.
Right. So it's like, I genuinely feel like even the days where I've not done anything, I've actually felt okay. Like, I've just been listening, like you said, I've been listening to my body. If it's been a case that I don't really feel like going to do a weight session, just go for a half an hour walk. Like, and that is enough. But I think because the watch was there before and the rings were not closing, I would just be thinking, like, I've not done anything. I've not done enough. Now, the next time I'm going to the gym, I'm like, I must do 35 minutes on the Stairmaster and an hour and a half of weights to make up for the fact that I didn't. What am I making up for?
Yeah.
For who?
For whom?
To whom? By
whom? Whom am I doing it for? Like, actually, in the grand scheme of things, and I think I'm just starting in general to just do a bit of like big picture thinking.
Yeah.
Like, really, when I think about it, I just need my body to work for a long, long time.
Yeah. And even as we're getting older as well, you start thinking about
childbearing.
And it's like,
hips. I need my hips
them
to be
childbearing
oiled.
Hip.
I need them to, like, you don't want to be getting there and be creaking. So it's like, yeah. Even thinking about
not the creak over like, in labor.
Hello.
Croak, croak.
Like, right. So, you know, just thinking about stretching. I'm just genuinely thinking about movement.
Stretching.
Yeah, I've been stretching.
Oh, yeah. Got on to me about that.
Yeah. I've been started doing that before my workouts. And it's like, yeah. why was I not doing it?
Remember after that time you had to teach me.
You're rushing because the watch is telling you.
I would literally, right. Guys, I'm such an OCD. I don't like to say the word OCD because I understand it's not the right terminology, but the lay of you will know what that means. Like, as in, I will get to the gym. Let's say, right, this is not normal. It will be like 4:52, and I'll be like, right, I'm going to wait for 5 p.m. on the dot so I can start my watch on the dot at 5 p.m. to say, so when it's been an hour, I know it's been an hour kind of thing. But it's like, it would still have been an hour.
Because you can check 52.
Right. But that's not normal.
Yeah.
So I think I've just come out of that. Like, I will go into the gym. I'll just start my workout whenever. I'm not looking at the watch. I'm not thinking about all these things. I'm being influenced by my body, but also by the environment. Like, if the gym starts to get too busy and I feel like I've done enough, I'm gone.
To hell with that.
Trusting your body, because also, like, I think one thing, because I know some people can be like, oh, you know, you shouldn't operate too much based on how you feel. But I think also one thing to, like, just set the scene, we are all people that have been going to the gym for years.
Thank you.
So when, and we have pushed ourselves to many different limits across that time.
Yeah.
So I think for all of us would know, like, oh, that was a hard session versus that was a softer session.
Yeah.
So I think when it comes to knowing, like, yeah, I've worked out today,
yeah,
it's not from a place of like
laziness
or like, oh, I can't be bothered. Yeah. No, it's like, do you know what? Like Monday, for example, I had a massive headache.
Yeah,
I was supposed to do leg day that day.
Yeah,
I just went for a walk.
Right,
I still wanted to work out, and I still had the desire to, because I just wanted to.
That, but was, you have to follow what I your body is also body telling
was
doing. You.
Yeah. My head was banging, but I went for a walk for about an hour and a half. I was on the phone to my friend, so I thought I'd speak to her whilst I'm walking.
Yeah,
I say that to say that even when you're saying about going to the gym, knowing that, do you know what, I'm done for today, it's coming from a place of, I know my body. Mm-hmm. I know how my body works out. I know what works best with my body. Mm-hmm. And today we're parking it.
We've done well. Like, I try not to quit like midway through like exercising. But it's like, if I've done three sets of like I tend to do supersets. So it's like, if I've done three superset exercises, there's a fourth one to come and I'm genuinely, like, I'm starting to look around, I'm like, oh, it's getting a bit crazy. It's now starting to feel hot. And I'm just thinking, do you know what? I can just go and walk. Like, I can walk. I can go home and I can just finish off with a walk. Like, it's not that deep.
Yeah.
And I think also just really, really listening on the front of, like, it's not always about heavier and, like, doing all these things. Yeah. Like, the same way you were saying about, like, not doing a 5K because what are you really training yourself for? It's not everyday progression overload. Obviously, if you're working towards specific body goals and things like that, it makes sense. But because, like I said, I'm now kind of in a place where I'm thinking about the bigger picture of just moving my body and lifestyle. It's like, okay, we can drop the weights on this and actually feel the exercise and actually do these, like... I just feel I don't know. It feels like this is no hot take. Like, what we're saying is not hot take, but it is, because it's like how many times you have to untrain your brain from these things.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I'm there again.
Oh,
so that's me. Apple Watch is gone.
Gone.
Sister Keats can come and do an update with you on how she's finding it. So,
and I think something really important about what you were saying is that you're going to come back to the gym tomorrow. You're going to work out again tomorrow. Like, I know
you want to.
Yeah. Because I know we're saying, like, like, feeling like, you know, taking into consideration of how your body feels and maybe leaving the gym at that time or whatever. But that's not the end. Like, you're not saying I'm dropping it forever now.
Right.
It's like, you're going to work out again tomorrow. You're going to, you know, you maybe could push yourself a bit more the next day or whatever it is. But I think that's really important. Like, it's not the end. You'll be back.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
And actually, sorry, the guy that... I was speaking to someone and he was basically saying that it's funny, like, there's been propaganda around gym. He was like, because I was like, oh, for me, like, gym is like my hobby or my sport or whatever, but I know that, like, that doesn't count. And he was like, why doesn't it count? He was like, because people have decided that the gym is not like a hobby or a sport. Mm. He was like, it is, he was like, think about what you're doing. It is actually valid. Mm. So I feel like I'm now even saying like, that's my hobby. Like that's my sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I don't.
Some people put that in their profile. Yeah. Their dating profile. Like I go to the gym. That's their hobby. Like, yeah.
But I feel like there is a bit of like a thing of like, gym is not a hobby.
And like, I feel it's not, like the people that say that gym is their hobby, there's a kind of like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
stigma.
Yeah, it's kind of like that person, like the Kiwi, like strict, rigid, kind of.
Oh, Mr. Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
But you think of that person, right? Like, if you were to see someone saying that gym is my hobby, you'd think they're like this proper ripped kind of take gym so seriously, take eating so seriously, but can just be a hobby for us as
Okay, cool. So that was a nice little update on how things have been over the last month. Really happy for you girls. Happy for myself as well. This is great stuff. So obviously I said this called a weigh-in. So what happened was we were supposed to film tomorrow. So I was going to weigh myself tomorrow. And I really, guys, I don't even say there was something telling me to weigh myself today. You know, when I put on my gym clothes, I was thinking, I felt really lean. I said, let me weigh myself. I said, no, let me make it accurate for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I didn't weigh. And obviously, we're here now, so I don't actually have a weigh-in. I mean, I could maybe throw some pictures up if y'all want to. Like, I have lost, but I just don't know what. Like, that's. But I do, I'll be shocked if this girl has not moved, just because I can see it basically from a picture point of view. But so yeah, I have an update for you the next weigh-in. I promise. But we do have a topic for today.
Should we do our drum roll?
Okay.
What song are we picking this time?
Okay, so last time we did Tanzania.
Yeah, we did.
So we could do...
Monday, Tuesday, compulsory. That's not a drum roll.
That's not a drum roll song. We need a beat.
Yeah, we need
I was just thinking of a song that means something to us.
I'll just kick it old school. With the drum roll.
I
think we should do a piano one. Uncle Waffles probably has something that we can work with.
Piano. I'm sick of this. Cut the cameras. But yeah, today's drum roll actually kind of times with what we just done is culture. So we are going to be talking about culture and weight loss. So as I said before, if you are watching this and you have not watched the first weigh-in, please guys go back because this ain't gonna make no sense. Mm-hmm. But obviously we are all on a weight loss journey, hence why we keep talking about weight loss, not weight gain, or I guess small maintenance is coming through. Mm-hmm. But don't watch this space. But yeah, I wanted us to talk about culture and weight loss because I think when we're talking about weight loss journeys and whether it's what we're eating, how we're moving our bodies, culture, you know, and I guess under culture, we're thinking about, you know, upbringing, where we're from, the dynamics in the household, all that stuff. That all contributes to how we're feeling, how we're looking, all that stuff. So I will kick us off the conversation by just, I guess, letting people know where we're from. So, where I'm from. So I'm Kenyan. But yeah, I'm Kenyan. So obviously Grace is Kenyan. Yeah, so we are two Kenyan birds.
Birds?
Not the birds.
Not birds like that. Like, I mean like cute little birds. No. Like the ones
we are
like,
two on your Kenyan no. East African queens.
Young East African girl.
Young East queen. African girl. You too busy with other men.
Yeah. That lyric was for y'all.
Yeah, listen.
Because even at that time, he was saying
to you.
East African girls ain't ever been
touched. Yeah, it's true. Literally.
Shout out Drake, man.
Yeah. I'm kind of sort of, I'm Southeast. I always say Zambia is Southeast. So I'm from Zambia. I was actually born in Zambia. Born in Lusaka, massive.
Lusaka. Shout
out to my Zambian crew. And they're there, you know. Because I see a lot of the Zambian girlies on TikTok. I don't know if it's just like my algorithm.
Yeah.
But I know you're there, so...
Hey,
girls.
So yeah, we are all African, and I guess our dishes are actually quite similar. Like we've realized this over the last couple like years.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I wanted to just I'll set the scene of where I want to go with this conversation, and you know, y'all come through. So I feel like obviously being African and being raised in an African household, you know, it's a challenge in itself. Yeah. You know, it ain't your straight. It ain't easy. It ain't easy. But I feel like I can speak for me and Grace, where like I think my mom did really well in like just opening us to different cuisines.
Yeah.
I say this because I remember, I'll never forget in uni once, I was like one of my friends, I think I've said this to you before, Grace, that like I must have made like lamb chops or something. Mm. And she was just like, oh, like, you know, how did you learn to make this? I was like, girl, it's lamb chops.
Yeah.
You know, like on Sunday, nothing big.
Yeah.
But like, she just has like her traditional food all the time. And yeah, I think it's only when I went to uni that I realized, oh, actually, some people just literally, it's day in, day out traditional food. And 100%. there's no like malice towards that. But I think it was just like, oh, like, you know, when you realize not everyone eats like the way your household eats.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would say, Grace can confirm or deny, I think we have been exposed to like healthier, lighter options growing up. So I have, like things like, I may have not wanted to eat it, but seeing things like salad, seeing things like veg, it's not a foreign thing in my house. Seeing like wholemeal versions to like, you know, pasta and bread,
has
not been like a foreign thing.
But rice.
Yeah, like, I think, you know, my mom went through a season where she was just, everything was whole foods based. Mm. So I think when it came to diet, like trying to lose weight, diet, whatever you want to call it, it was hard, of course, because now it's like, I have to do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like, you know, I, like, for example, when I first started Running Froze, I remember some people be like really struggling, like in my DMs, like telling me that they want to make these healthy meals, but the whole household is eating something. And it's not even like the way like you might be having chicken and having lamb. It's something like you're having fried this, curry that, and I'm trying to have a kale salad.
Yeah, it's like, because now you even optically, it's like,
it's giving Mr. Kiwi.
Right. But even beyond that, it's giving entitled, it's giving, hello. Since, why are you now not eating with the rest of the family?
Right, and let's talk about that for a second. Yeah,
because one thing I the fried.
Exactly. One thing I feel, and like, I don't feel like my mum does this to me, but I defo feel guilty if I don't eat my mum's food.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Like, a little bit guilty. Like, if I know, like, she's made something really big, and then I'm coming and I'm like, oh, I'm making my own thing. I feel a bit like,
I hear it.
Oh. And she's like, oh, I thought you were going to eat. And I'm like, oh, no, I've got my own thing. And she's like, oh, anyways, there's food there. And she'll continue for a day. Mm. I'm kind of like, oh.
Contextually though, just so like people have an idea of like what maybe typical Kenyan dishes are, do you want to give us a bit, because you said, oh, I can make lighter options, but what are the heavy options on offer?
Oh girl, we got the mandazi.
So
we got mandazi, chapati,
gima, and all these things are very like flour heavy, fried,
carb heavy. Not one piece of protein in that one.
And
also we've got like our stews. Obviously you have protein. Our pilau rice.
Do you guys have stew? Like an equivalent of like, so in Zambia we call it nshima.
That's gima or ugali.
We used to call it that, you know, when I was younger.
Is it?
Well, I grew up calling it ugali.
We've got the veg options like dairy, sukumawiki. I do feel like
gima.
There are I want to say vegetarian options, but
there are veggie dishes.
Like, is just beans.
Yeah.
Vegan friendly.
Yeah. I used to ban that.
That would be on
like
the vegan
heyday.
Yeah.
Like, okay, got you. Vegan girl.
Yeah. But then there's stuff like mokimo, which is just
potato
with peas basically mashed together.
Okay.
But yeah, very heavy. And I think it's also like the quantity in which you maybe see your parents eat it as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is to be ate properly. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just a small, you know, in a little bowl or something. It's like,
biggie,
if you see my parents plate, it's like, slap dash of the mokimo right
there. Yes, sir.
And then you have like the stew on top. Yeah. And then they're still right veg there as well, but it's like, they're a bit intimidating. The plates are a bit intimidating. Like, they're like, whoa, like, this is a lot of
food.
It's a lot of food. Mm-hmm. It's not like a small, you know, with salad and salmon, you can control it. Like, two pieces of salmon and a handful of salad. But here it's like, no, we're scooping that.
And you always want enough for scoop. Like,
Because
it's banging. It's so nice. So I feel like, you know, I guess I'm kind of like opening the platform for people that, you know, you might be on a fitness journey and you're trying to lose weight and your culture is literally in the household, it's completely opposite to what you're trying to eat. And it's not easy. It's not always easy. Like, literally, I will be having like the best week and I come downstairs and there's chapati there.
Yeah.
Who made chapati?
Why? What's the occasion?
It's Wednesday afternoon. Like, why is that here?
Life is to be lived.
Like, but then it's like, right, am I going to be the Mr. Kiwi of the household?
Right.
Can we not live and enjoy?
Can we not?
One life.
There's different mindsets. That just reminded me, I think it must have been the 1st of Jan. Must have been 2023 then, because 2024 we're all in South Africa and Cape Town. But we must have been at Auntie's house, and I think there was like lots of like dazi and chapati and whatever. Yeah. And me and Rose said no. We're like, oh no, 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 because it's like the 1st of January, like, you know, health kick, da, 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 da. And they were like, so we saw it as in like, we can't have that because the new year has started. Yeah. But their response was like, ah, it's just the first, we've got the whole year to lose weight. And we're like, oh
yeah,
like it's just a different, like we saw it as in like it's the first day of the year, we can't
start fresh.
They saw it as in it's the first day of the year, you've got the whole year to eat healthy, like all to lose weight.
Let's go. Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, okay, like that's just also just different like mindsets and like how they see things.
And what about you, Es? What's your like culture's food?
So in Shima is like the staple dish, and like if you go anywhere in Zambia, I don't know if this is just my experience, I don't know if this is unique to me, but when you get to someone's house, that pot of Nshima is going on the stove. We're gonna start. And guys, have you tried to cook? What did you say yours is called?
Ugali.
Oh, yeah, ugali. Have you ever tried to actually cook it yet?
No.
But that wrist work.
That wrist work. I can't get it.
That auntie arm work.
They make it look easy, but it's whipping really not.
Real quick too.
They're whipping it up real quick like it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's something. So
just to confirm.
Right, it is something. But we usually tend to have that with like some sort of like stew. So it's not specific. It would be like beef stew or chicken stew, whatever. Then you've got like fried fish. Tilapia is like a biggie there. Mm-hmm. Then we have like these tiny little fish called capenta. So they're like little ones. I had one the other day and I said, oh, no. But do you know what? I actually think, when I really deep it, Zambian cuisine is not that bad. Like, it's actually quite protein heavy.
Yeah.
I think the big thing is how people cook with oil.
Right.
That's going to throw you out.
Fitumbua
or Chitumbua. Yeah. So that's like dazi. Mandazi. Yeah. Okay. So that's obviously like flour, like sugar, whatever.
In oil.
Fried.
In oil. Just in oil.
Shout out to my auntie. Yeah. She makes the best. Like, that woman can whip up some chitumbuas. And the way people go mad for them, I'm like, what do you put in this?
Yeah.
It's not good. But what I will say is that when I started to enter like my healthier journey of like eating, and like, you remember I said I got told I had high cholesterol.
Yeah.
So I was like auditing what I'm eating. Then first few times of coming home and say, oh no, I'm not gonna have Nshima. I'm gonna have salmon. Salmon? And you know what? Same as you, like my parents, like I grew up with my parents kind of being open and exposed to like different foods. We used to go to eat quite a lot.
Yeah.
We were very blessed in that sense. But it was like, yeah, when I decided to start doing my own little thing, it was a bit like, guys, I'm not going to sit here and say I had the hardest upbringing in an African household. I didn't. Yeah. I was one of maybe the lucky ones.
Yeah, yeah.
But my mum was definitely still a bit like, oh, what are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? But then, if anything, it kind of inspired her to like start looking at like, okay, rather than us having Nshima 3-4 times a week, maybe we just have it once a week. Let's look at what else we can do and all of that stuff. So actually, it then started to move towards like being a household thing. It became easier.
Yeah.
And as naturally as I got older and I started to want to cook,
yeah,
I would just cook whatever I'm going to make. So if I'm making spag bol, we're having a spag bol.
And that also comes with having like open-minded parents.
Absolutely. And I know, oh, I really feel bad for you people that just don't have that.
It must be hard.
It must be really, really hard to try and, even if you're offering to like want to do your own cooking, like having like parents that maybe are like, no, that's not.
Like culturally, you have to
culturally,
eat.
You need to eat.
Because even for me, like I just get so happy even when I see like mum just saying, oh, I'm going to make sweet potato and salmon or mackerel. Like, and it's just like, you know.
And we have salmon like all the time.
Yeah, right? I just don't think there's ever been an item that's been just that we haven't had. Like I'm talking from whether it's beef to fish options and and like whether it's pasta,
bag bowl,
or it's rice. Or like, just, I just think, and I think that helped me a lot when it came to navigating my health journey, because then when I was looking for recipes, there weren't things I hadn't really tried or seen.
Yeah.
Like things, and also like stuff like kale.
Yeah.
I'd seen it in the house, but I didn't really know about it, but like I'd seen it. Mm-hmm. Or like broccoli. I used to hate eating broccoli, but I know what it is. Like,
yeah.
So it wasn't like I'm having to learn to cook a whole
from
new
scratch.
Way. But I understand that for a lot of people it is. And I think one of the hard things to navigate is, first of all, if it's hard to like bring those foods in the house, but secondly, when you've got the temptation of the things you're genuinely trying to cut out.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have those random few days where there's like random chapati here, or mum has gone and brought more sourdough bread than she needs to. Just little things.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not like, it wouldn't throw us off completely.
Yeah.
Like, if I was to eat like the whole thing, I'd go again tomorrow.
Yeah.
But like, I know people who are like proper foodies, or like they're family members, the kind of family members that maybe like just eat dessert for breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
Like I know, like let's say like you were like a bake-off, for example, and you made cakes.
Yeah. Huh? What are we doing? How are like, we actually navigating that? Like, I don't actually get it.
We need
it.
To have a conversation because cake?
Cake.
How am I supposed to say no?
The carbs. Like no, I think it's cake. The carbs that will really get you. It's just like
And the sugar. So I feel like it's one of those things that we cannot act like it's just simple. You know, this whole podcast but is about like, just, you know, making it clear it's not this simple of just working out and eating clean, because there are factors at play. You can work out till kingdom come. You have meal prepped till kingdom come, but you are opening the fridge to get your meal prep out and there looking at you is cheesecake.
Right.
Your favorite flavor
untouched. Of cheesecake. What are you double supposed pack. To do? Yeah.
I think, I'm
it's hard.
I have to recognize my privilege because I open the fridge and there's literally just bags of salad. There's,
there's
bags of cabbage. Yeah. It's just green. And then like the bottom two or the bottom four, really. And then the top two are fruits and egg.
Yeah.
And literally there's no...
There's like nothing working against you.
There's nothing in the house working. So if anything, you'll be self-inflicted. Like,
That's... 100%. Like you're ordering food, or like you're going out to eat.
We spoke about like the time when you added a lot of weight in college, and we're saying that was not because of anything in the house.
I was going to McDonald's that was every single day for 2 years.
Yeah, and I added a lot of weight in college as well, and that was because every single day after college, my friends will back this.
Yeah,
we used to go and get a chicken royale at
royale
a chicken royale
from Burger King
at Burger King.
Rogue.
So rogue with chips,
and then people that get chicken products from Burger King. It's a bit,
babe. So basically, it was $1.99 on. So we used to get the bus, obviously.
The bus
different times. Yeah, so the bus ticket. It's even crazy to think that you could get like a ticket.
Yeah, is it the ones that were on the back of?
So we'd have to get the bus into college. So yeah. Do you think if it wasn't for that? Because I think the chicken royale was like a fiver. I don't know. But anyway, whatever was $1.99 at the back of our bus ticket is what we were eating, and we ate it repetitively every single day. So I'm saying, like at home, there was no excuse for me to be that the size that I was in college, but because of the bus ticket, because of what I was eating daily, 100%. Day in, day out. So.
Also, I just want to say, the time that I did go back to having like insulin quite regularly. So like in my house. Because you said about like how do you navigate like with especially like family occasions and stuff, sometimes I do go to aunts' houses and they're like, oh, I've made insulin, and I'm like, ah, guys, I actually can't do a plate of insulin, because if I do, first of all, like I literally expand, number one, expansion, it's a lot, and second of all, like sometimes genuinely, if I know, like we said, if I'm going out on the weekend or whatever, it's like I really haven't factored this in, and it's like I just genuinely think it depends how you are as a person with boundaries, because I think some people find it hard. They don't like disappointing people. But the way I see it is like you already cook the food, especially if there's other people around. It's not like you specifically cook for me. Yeah. So I don't feel as bad. And I think that maybe it's just like a word to the wise. Like it all starts with you having boundaries. Like ultimately, I don't think many people are going to go to places where they're going to experience force feeding. Like, I don't know. That's a thing. So I just think like, it's how you deliver it as well. It's like, you can just say, oh, auntie, like, honestly, I promise you.
Yeah.
I love what you're doing here. Yeah. Love your work.
Yeah.
I loved it last time as well.
Loved it last time
and
too.
And I'll love it next.
And maybe next, and I'll come prepared next time.
Yeah.
But maybe this time it's just not like, I'm going to have something else. Right. Even if you haven't eaten, just say you ate before.
I've ate a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I agree. And when you go to those auntie's house, it's like, if they're giving you something, you can even take it and take it home to your family.
Right.
Like, I agree. I mean, there is a way to go about it. It's not like, no, I'm not eating it. I'm on a diet. Like, come on, like, read the room.
Read the room.
But like,
yeah, of course.
But like, I can also emphasize why it can be difficult. Because, like, and then, you know, your aunties have made this of love. Yeah. And also, like, you know, like, from an African culture, think about it. Like, food is such a centerpiece and such a staple in our culture. Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually offensive. Yeah. Like, imagine, like, you come into my house, mom's made dinner, and you're saying you're not eating.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm not
crazy.
Talking about, like, saying, oh, you want to eat the salad. I'm saying you're not eating. Like, it's actually, you might as well slap my mom.
Yeah,
it's
her
saying, I love you, and you're just airing it.
Yeah. Like, it's such a, so now when you're trying to navigate, you're not saying you're not going to eat, but you're just saying, I want to eat this instead.
Differently. Yeah.
I think it's still something different for them to, like, process, comprehend, because back home, what do you mean? We're all eating this.
Yeah.
Like, what option do you have?
And that's the thing. They're coming from a place where they didn't have options growing up. We're very privileged, like you always say, like the fact that we have been able to experience so many foods and cultures and all of that.
Just have access to so much of it as well.
My nieces, like, was 10 years old talking about sushi. I said, I just ate sushi the other day. Yeah. I just arrived. How are you 10 years old telling me about what sushi you do? Like, what are you talking about? Right. Like, she knows what role she like. I said, you're 10.
Yeah.
So it's like, even think about them.
Because I didn't know about sushi till I was probably like 18.
Yeah. I would say like even, I was in my 20s before I even tried. Nigiri. Yeah, careful with that one.
Oh, I know.
It's given master. It's given master.
No, but I do. But I do feel like it's. We just can't act like it's just that simple to decline food or not, because especially in our cultures that we've all said, it, despite us coming from like I guess households where our parents are quite open with like trying different foods.
Yeah,
you know, there is still. There's boundaries to maintain, but there's also boundaries we can't cross.
Yeah.
So we can't also be like going to like our auntie's house or whatever and be like, I'm not eating.
Yeah.
Huh? Unless we're actually praying and fasting.
Really no other excuse.
There actually is no other excuse.
It's a symbol of love. It's a symbol of community. It brings people together.
Yeah.
Celebrations, you know, when things have gone wrong or things, you know, in
food
sadness. It's such a big thing. Like if something has happened to someone in our culture, good or bad,
it's
we are bringing pots of food to celebrate or mourn. Whatever it is, there's going to be food and there's going to be a lot of it. And there's something else I was going to say. Can we also talk about because you said force feeding. I wonder, is this a form of force feeding where like I know in my house especially, like you have to finish what's on the plate as we're younger. Now anymore as adults, but like you had to finish what was like, you can't you can't throw anything in the bin. And my mum is still like this now. She can't, expired or not,
no food goes in the bin.
I remember growing up, you just had to finish your food.
That was big.
I'd be at that dinner table till like 10
p.m. And it doesn't matter how long
you guys have that as well.
It doesn't matter how long
you go to bed,
you have to finish your food. It doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter how long it takes, you have to finish it. And I was just thinking, like, does this, because I know also like growing up for some parents, like there was a lack of like access to food and it was quite scarce. So it still comes from that like scarcity mindset. We have to, because my mom growing up, she used to say stuff like, we can't throw this food in the bin because there's people in Africa who did it back home, we didn't have to do that. And I would be like, okay, I appreciate that, that makes sense. But as growing older, I was like, but what does what does this plate in this bin do for anyone, or do for the past, or do for people that can't afford it back home? And it's just like, can't throw anything in the bin, and it's like, this is making me add on weight. I'm full, or like I don't want that big pile of whatever, and it's like, eat more, or like
keep it in the fridge until the next day.
Like auntie, love her to death. You haven't ate. You need to eat. No. And it's like, we'll eat so much. We're like, come on, you haven't ate. We can't finish. We can't waste. And it's like,
we will let you go to my auntie's house, have a plate of stew, rice, chapati.
Dazzy.
Another plate.
Mm.
Then even finish it off with hot chocolate and dessert.
And
then it'll be like,
say,
what have you ate today? You haven't eaten anything. Look at you. You haven't ate.
You're wasting away.
And you're like, can you not see my jeans are undone?
Right.
And it's like,
it don't mean nothing.
Do you know what it is though? You know how you said about the thrown away? I think that just comes across. Crosses over so many different departments.
Oh,
they just don't throw things away.
Yeah, hoarding.
It's hoarding. Items. Like,
and I think it all comes from the scarcity mindset.
Hoarding.
They didn't have.
Clothing, hoard food, whatever it is that you're hoarding. It's because there was a time where I can speak for others, but that wasn't a thing. Like, you didn't have access to all of these things. So now that you have access to it, we are not throwing this away. What do you mean? Because if we throw this away, when are we going to get it again? And they can be working every single day and have access to money, but it's still that same mindset of, if we throw this away, what will we have tomorrow? What are my kids gonna have tomorrow? And sorry to get a bit deep.
It's a little bit, but I hear it. One thing about my dad, he's gonna come, like, it's just me and my dad in our house. One thing about that man, when he goes to Little Bakery, he comes like he's feeding the 5,000 himself. I'm like, bro, what are we meant to do with all of
this? I think I once saw your
story. What are we meant to do with a loaf of bread, two croissants, a pan au chocolat? I'm like, bro, what are we actually meant to do? But it is the scarcity thing, because I think in his mind, he's like, oh, I must buy now because Lidl might not be here tomorrow.
And it's so like, it's such an innocent mindset to have it as well. And it, obviously it's from a place of love, but I think it's very much like, like you said, is it a form of like force feeding now?
Because like, when you're saying I can't leave this table until every crumb is finished, is that not force feeding in an indirect way?
But then also from a psychological point of view, just like, gotta let you know, I'm a mental expert. Like when I've worked with eating disorders, like, you know, so you obviously you've got people who obviously don't want to eat, and that's a form of eating disorder. Mm. But then when you know there's other forms of eating disorders, which you know are not anorexia and not bulimia, mm. you've also got people who if it is overeating, it's for the same reasons.
Yeah,
you cannot leave the food. Like at the table.
Yeah.
And this comes, it's fueled from the same thing. It's still psychological. It's still trying to process the fact that, okay, that's what you were told growing up, yeah. that you cannot leave this table until you finish your food. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you're a child, your parents want you to eat, blah, blah. But now you're 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, and you still have that belief. So when it comes to now somebody telling you, you're not losing weight because you won't stop eating, or did it, hello, somebody has a psychological response to there being food on their plate. Wow. They have to eat all of it.
Yeah.
So I think once again, and this is why this podcast exists, we cannot just be expecting people to just all of a sudden snap be eating out, from a big plate to into a small plastic container from Amazon, which I hate, and then just all of a sudden they're supposed to just
fixed.
No,
yeah.
Because some people, it's psychological. Mm. At the end of the day, if you have been told for years on end, and don't forget, we are here saying that we've come from healthy households where even our parents were telling us this, it was never from a place of hate.
No.
Some people, it's from a place of hate. You need to finish that because you're going to be this, or you're not going to be that, or blah, 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 blah.
Or you can't have that because...
You're not going to be able to go out. Then you've got aunties or uncles on the corner saying, oh, why are you this size? When you're going to marry? Da, 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 da.
Let's not even get into that.
Now you're like, you know what? I want to actually make better health decisions.
Yeah.
Someone said, okay, the first thing you need to do is reduce your portion. How do I do that?
Where do I begin?
Where do I start? And I think until we actually... You know, people are open, people are honest, you know, people are getting personalized support to be able to, you know, reveal all these different psychological patterns that you developed over time. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to just stop eating the way you've been eating, because it's culture, it's upbringing, it's childhood. Like this is part of like almost like your DNA, like from developed over time.
You're hardwired.
Literally.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, to anybody out there that has been feeling like, oh, why can't I, like, if that is part of your story or this sounds similar, just know that, like, you know, us here, we see you, we hear you, because we know it's not that easy. Like, it's a process, and until you know that it's a process that needs to be worked on, you're going to be constantly thinking, why can't I do this, why can't I do this, when actually it's deeper than that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
A little self-awareness and a reflection maybe needed.
But I do have a conspiracy.
Okay.
So hear me out.
I love conspiracy.
Let me land.
Big conspiracy.
I say this as somebody that obviously, you know, trying to lose weight for a couple of years, and I noticed whenever I'd go to like look at recipes, there was, you know, Moroccan falafel, a healthier pasta.
Okay.
You know, you could have a creamy risotto with, you know, less milk, or, you know, you could have, a fried fish, but, you know, with less oil.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like everything in the diet culture when it comes to food has catered to every other cuisine than
except
our own.
African.
Because I just feel like, I'm not here to say that you can make a healthier chapati.
I was just going to say, I don't know if you can do that.
But
though.
I'm just saying, like, think about it. Why is it? Because pasta's still pasta.
Yeah.
Whole wheat or not, it's still a carb.
Mm.
And why is it we can make a healthier alternative to that? And I'm not saying I want to eat the healthier chapati, by the way, or the healthier mandazi, or the healthier stew.
Mm.
But I'm just saying, if we also, if the stats are every day saying, oh, you know, black African, black Caribbean are more likely to have diabetes, cholesterol, and da da da. But then you're telling us to now come and eat falafel. Excuse me.
It doesn't make sense.
Can you tell me how to make my rice and stew in a healthier way then?
Oh,
do you get what I mean? Yay. And as someone who works, you know, for a health organization in this country, I can confirm that it's just, you're not.
It might be the national one.
It might be a national one. I'm not sure. But I just don't think we can keep trying to press on this matter of like, oh, black people are more this, black people are more that. And it's like, well, what's our
out then?
Yeah, because how come the Moroccans have an alternative?
Yeah.
The Italians have an alternative.
Yeah. British have an alternative.
But then we are the ones
who make a healthy fish and chips.
Like food and diet. And then I remember like actually looking at work, and they were showing how like all of our foods which are unhealthy is everything.
Right.
So should we eat that to everyone else? No, because culture once again is important to us. That's our DNA. It's like, that's my conspiracy. I just feel like,
so do you think there's a bit of erasure going on there?
I think it's a bit of a racial situation, personally. Mm. Like, you know, get out of my country type of thing.
Yeah, because genuinely, why is it that someone is not saying, okay, rather than having oxtail, for example, I love me some oxtail.
Run me that.
But rather than having oxtail stew, maybe you pick like a lean beef stew instead. Or like when you're looking at like the things that you would like frying fish, for example, why don't you switch from like semi-deep frying to like using a spritz of oil. Like, you just don't
air
hear
fry.
That. Like, air fry. Like,
what, you just, you don't see it, but it's there. Because I follow content creators who do this.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm always like, I wish your thing was like, more known, like especially from like a national level, because at this point I'm seeing what they're trying to send tell people to do. They're just telling them stop eating this stuff, and it's like, like, do you know how hard it is to be from a different country in this country already,
in general,
and now you're telling me not to eat my stuff? I was, die. Mm.
And I think you're right about the awareness thing, because like when you're saying that, I was like, I know there's whole meal chapati, and I know like if there's diabetes in the family, then there'll be people that will go for the. Should be going for like the whole meal.
Yeah. Oh.
So should. Heavy on the should.
Yeah, should be. Yeah, I know who you are.
Don't miss what I said now.
But like there is like the whole meal, and we've had like the whole meal chapati version. So there are like to an extent some options. But yeah, I don't think there's any level of like awareness of what that looks like. And yeah, they should put options. And I feel like just the National Health Service in general should put more options when it comes to black people, because a lot of the time it's like, oh, you guys, diabetes, cholesterol,
back home,
who has diabetes,
who has
cholesterol,
these problems?
Who?
And they are eating the same thing, so it's like this.
Okay,
place,
but can I
don't anyway,
or is the data
just not there?
Because that's another thing. But anyway, who's diagnosing it?
That's crazy.
But anyway, that's another thing. But yeah, I just feel like give us some. But I do appreciate the fact that they're now showing like how different skin conditions and stuff like that can look on black people. I think they're trying to get there. You're not there.
Nowhere near.
You're not there. Let's not get it twisted. But yeah, the same way you're starting to develop the skin thing, but that also came from like the black community saying like, what does a red rash mean?
Yeah.
Because you say you're gonna turn
red.
Purple and blue,
I don't
my
even
skin
bruise.
Yeah.
I don't bruise. So it's like
mine just goes grey.
Yeah, like it's
So anyway, I feel like it's unfair, and the onus should not be on the black community to do it. But I feel like once again, it's good that you're saying there are creators that are doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because hopefully they can start a movement.
Maybe you can add some of them in.
Yeah. I will. Yeah. I'll tag a few that I've seen that I think have made really nice alternatives to like some of my favorite foods, because I just once again, food is so important. Like we want to enjoy it. You know, live, love, life.
And why is
live,
it love, the black life. Community, black and Asian minority ethnics, whatever that means? Why is it always us that are always the ones diabetes, cholesterol, dying from this, dying from that, dying from pregnancy?
Do you remember that episode on I May Destroy You when the doctor said to Michaela Cole, you're Afro-Caribbean?
Yeah. She's like, what is that?
What does that mean?
And I
said, no, wheel it up, because for real, every day, Afro-Caribbean, you're more likely to get da-da-da.
Yeah.
Okay, but show me. Do you know what I mean? So I just feel like going back to the topic of culture, I feel like we love our culture. Our culture is rich in so many different ways and we always want to embrace it. But then I feel like then you've got this country telling us, oh, but the way your culture eats, you finna die soon.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, how come you've been able to find alternatives for every other culture, but then us, it's like, just stop eating that. No. Yeah. Like, no, help
go
us find alternatives.
Go back to where you came from.
Yeah. Get out of my country. I will learn soon, though.
Yeah, like, I will. Soon
my,
come.
Yeah, I don't want your little jobs
soon
anyway.
Come.
I want
your taking little our jobs. Your little, don't want
have
your
them back.
Yeah, have them back now, babe. Don't want them anymore. I'm done with it. Done with all that tax, but anyway. Yeah, that's what I want to talk about with culture
for the culture
very good here.
Can I say anything? Are we done?
Yeah, you could talk.
I think
just wanted to
we want to start wrapping up.
Oh no, I was just going to conclude really.
Okay, do you want
in
to
conclusion
start? In conclusion, I can't leave that summary. So yeah, I have like really enjoyed this discussion. So we looked at
wait, are you
taking
get out. No.
So we've looked
this
at
is not a lecture.
In summary.
I'm so sorry, guys. Please ignore that.
No.
You know what her personality type is.
I was just going to say, like, I do appreciate the fact, because I feel like it might have been lost, but I do appreciate the fact that we've talked about food as culture, like as a thing, and like food within culture and food being love, food being you're mourning, here we go. You're celebrating, here we go. Food being, just all of these important things. Yeah, food being fuel. Mm. We've discussed like how there are privileges within this, within the culture discussion. Like some of us, like all of us sitting here, we've grown up having pasta and different things. And I remember in school once, someone was like, we're talking, and then they're like, you had pasta. I was like, yeah, we eat pasta a lot. And they're like,
you?
Isn't that for white people? And I was like, that was my first like, but yeah, like, and then there are some people that, you know, haven't been, and it's just like, it's an interesting discussion. I feel like these things need to be discussed more, especially the NHS not showing us
what it looks. Sorry, I'm always going to get onto an organization.
She's been a comfy girl.
On your neck.
On your neck. But yeah, show us what's a healthy alternative.
Yeah.
It's not every day.
Okay, so we like rice, but say whole grain rice. Yeah. And then,
yeah. How come you can still tell me how to have a creamy carbonara?
And they're some of the healthiest people in the world. Ah. The Italians. Let's talk. Anyway, we ain't got time to talk about it.
They should even encourage rice and peas.
You should be encouraging. And the plantain.
Yeah.
If you just have a bowl of rice and peas, you can make it whole grain, and that's a nice vegan whole grain wholemeal food.
Whole grain wholemeal food.
Ho? Shouldn't give anyone diabetes, right? Are we okay now? Are we in the clear? Anyway.
No, thank you, Grace, for your summary. S, do you want to ask any final words?
Do you know, I'll be honest, Grace has summarized it perfectly. I've enjoyed the discussion. I'm really looking forward to the next weigh-in. My biggest takeaway is just to continue moving.
Yeah.
Continue on in the same vein that we've been going.
Yeah.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. No. We're blessed when we come and when we go.
Amen. Pastor, you have spoken.
That's it.
The church has heard.
The church has heard. Sickness and poverty must cease.
Amen.
For the devil is?
Is defeated. We are blessed.
Blessed. And with that.
We
finna wrap it up.
Can't add nothing else.
Praise
to that.
Glory be to God. Thank you guys for listening. It has been a hoot. Yeah. As not normally said.
I love it.
Yes, guys, please remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Follow all of us on our socials. Just in case you don't know, Grace is also a YouTuber.
Yeah.
She's talking about a couple things.
100.
You know, also she's got some books around period poverty that you guys will be able to purchase soon. So please do follow.
I love it.
It's not our little busy body over here, but don't get twisted. She got some stuff up
her sleeve. I got some little things cooking up.
So, you know, if you want to follow her on TikTok, you know, follow her on TikTok. She got
She's on TikTok. Yeah,
she got some wisdom for us over there.
And she's funny, by the way.
She's quite funny.
Oh my gosh, guys. I'm a catch.
And always please remember to follow your girl, Run With Rose. Like I said, I am a mental health consultant. I'm an ex-therapist. I've got a lot to say on all matters to do with mental health and, of course, food, diet, and culture. So thank you guys for listening to the second weigh-in, episode 14, over and out.
Bye, guys.